We have spent the semester so far discussing accumulation, the buying and holding of investments and building up our nest egg. Now let's talk about the distribution phase and see how diversification can really help us in the diversification phase when we're spending down our nest egg. So we have four different illustrations here. We're going to take a look at a bond only, we're using mutual funds, a bond only portfolio in retirement, a stocks only portfolio in retirement, and then using a balance fund, a well-run balance fund, and compare that to what if we just used a stock and a bond fund separately. So I have these all queued up. I'm not going to use the internet. They're already on my local drive here, so let's minimize that. And let's first take a look at the bonds in retirement. And this is what many people think they need to do. Well, that was good advice 60 years ago because people didn't live that long in retirement. But now people are living a whole lot longer. So we're going to do a hypothetical illustration. Here's the scary stuff. Be afraid. Be very afraid because you will lose money from time to time. And there's all the lawyery stuff that nobody reads and everybody just glosses over. Let's get down to the good stuff. We're starting with a nest egg of $400,000, which sounds like a lot of money, but throughout your working career, if you invest prudently, consistently, with an eye towards long-term growth and income, you can easily put that together, dear students, you younger folks, the older. Right. And so we're going to now start withdrawing 5%. Start at 5%. Some people like 4, some people like 6, but 5% is very typical. And then what we're going to do is every year off of that initial 5%, we're going to increase our distribution by 3%. Now, we're not going to go 5, 8, 11. No, we're going to start with the original withdrawal from $400,000. That's about $20,000, 5%. And then we'll increment that, basically index it to inflation over the last 25 years. And we'll do that every year. Make sense? Okay, now, what happened is in 1994, bonds took a hit because interest rates rose as the economy improved. But that was, the only year until 2008 that bonds really got hammered. They didn't even get hammered that badly in 94. In 2008, they did. So what's happening? Our withdrawals are increasing, but notice our nest egg is also increasing. We're trying to get about 6% from our bonds, which was typical for many decades, and taking out a little bit less. So our nest egg is increasing until 2008, when it drops precipitously, and then we never really recover because our withdrawals are increasing and our nest egg is decreasing. And so at the end of the 25 years, remember, this is you're in retirement, so 65, let's say you retire 65, now we're looking at age 90, you've taken out over $725,000, but you only got 80 grand left, and you're pulling out $40,000 a year, so you only got a couple more years left of bond withdrawals. And you've received a little over 5%, which is a little less than we'd like to get from bonds. But the truth is, dear students, bonds are paying far less than they used to pay. So, yes, we have to be ready for that. And we take a look at the graph, and we see that, there's the dip in 94 when interest rates rose. But we came back, and then 2007, 8, and now we're on the downhill slide. Now, because our withdrawals have increased with inflation, we're now spending down our principal. But this is what people expected in retirement. They expected that to happen. Can we do better? Yes, by simply thinking long term and saying, look, statistically, you never know how long you're going to live, but statistically, I have a long time in retirement, so I'm going to put my money into stocks. Now, not too many people are going to want to have a full stock portfolio in retirement because it's very scary. But here we are, we're using a middle of the road, it's a well-run mutual fund, it's been around for decades. I think I've used it in the past for you. Yes, in fact, we did use it in Chapter 4. And we're starting with $400,000 and doing the exact same thing, taking 5% out, starting with 5%, and then increasing that withdrawal by about 3%, by 3% every year. And so what happens is we took a little hit in 94 when interest rates went up, but then the stock market went in two directions, up and way up in the late 90s. But then there's the 2000 to 2002 bear market, so 948 down to 729, but we kept the faith. And sure enough, by 2007, we had over 1.1 million. Notice our withdrawals are increasing, but then 2008 comes along. Oh, how would you like to tell your spouse it's gone down $400,000, but we didn't run, we didn't hide. Maybe we didn't even know what's going on. And sure enough, we recovered by 2013 or so. And by 2008, we now have 1.8 million. We've taken out the exact same $275,000, but because we invested for growth with stocks and accepted the strong volatility, which means I lost a lot of money, we have a huge nest egg. Now, would this normally happen? No, dear students. Most elderly folks in retirement are not going to want to stomach an entire stock portfolio. And sure enough, there's the graph. It's a roller coaster. From the start, we went down a little bit in 94, but then look at 2000 to 2002, 2007 and 8, and oh my goodness, it's a roller coaster. Yeah, well, that's stock investing, and that's not what we normally like to see or recommend, certainly, to people in retirement. So what about a balance fund? Boy, I like balance funds. And what we're going to see is that a well-run balance fund is able to smooth out the roller coaster, but at the same time give you that growth that you need, even in retirement. So this is a balance fund that's been around for decades. It invests in stocks and bonds. And the reason I like this balance fund, it's not the only one, but is that it's truly a balance fund. In their prospectus, they say it will never be more than 75% stocks, 25% bonds, and never be less than 50% stocks, 50% bonds. They take what is often called in the industry a bottom-up approach. They look at the individual potential investment choices, and they choose accordingly, as opposed to saying, hey, I think we ought to move everything into stocks now, or hey, I think we ought to move everything into bonds now. That's not a balance fund. That's sometimes called an asset allocation fund or a strategic tactical fund or whatever, but it ain't what I want to have in a balance fund. So here's just one. There are many out there. Don't think you have to rush out and get this one. But again, we start with the same $400,000 nest egg. We start with 5% annual withdrawals, increasing by 3%. And sure enough, we go down a little bit in 94. Then the market goes in two directions, up and way up. And by 2000, we have almost 700,000. And notice that it actually went up in 2001. Why? Bonds went up because interest rates went down. But it got hit in 2002. Coming back to 2007, we have almost 900,000. But then, oh boy. But notice, as a percentage, we did not lose as much as we did with the all-stock fund. And we didn't run, we didn't hide, and sure enough, we've taken out the same $725,000, but now our nest egg is $1.2 million. Not as much as the stock-only fund, but it's not supposed to be as much as the stock-only fund, because we've opted for less volatility. But still, 9%. Oof, you get 9% from a balance fund. You thank your lucky stars. And so the graph shows that still there's some volatility, but it's nowhere near as pronounced as it was with the stock fund. So, except 2008 always looks bad, no matter what you have your money in. But you see what a balanced fund can do for us? Even in retirement, we still need that growth because we're living far longer. It used to be that people retired at 62 and died at 64. Now they're retiring at 62 and going back to work at 64 because they're bored, or they have a great idea for a business, or they need some more money, or their spouse kicks them out the house. That's what I think is going to happen to me. My wife's going to say, get out of here, get out of here. You're bothering me. So now, this is interesting. What we're going to do now is we're going to take a look at what would have happened if we had merged the two initial funds, the bond fund and the stock fund. Instead of going with a balance fund, we had a stock fund and we had a balance fund. So we split the nest egg into two pieces. Here, let's get down to the good stuff here. All right, here it is. Oh, it tells us right up here. We're going to start with $200,000 in the stock fund, $200,000 in the bond fund, and we're going to do the exact same thing, 5% annually, increasing by 3%. And so let's take a look at the portfolio. The initial investment is $400,000. It dips a little bit in 94 because of the interest rates rising and people freaking out. But that's a good sign. If interest rates are rising because the economy is recovering, which it was at that time, that's a very good sign. And so we went in two directions, up and way up. In 2000, we were at 677. In 2002, 569. But we stuck out with it. We stuck with it. And then by 2007, we had 765 down to 517. Ugh. But we didn't run. We didn't hide. We stuck with it. And sure enough, by the end of September 30th, 2018, we had almost $1 million in our account. Still received the exact same income, the $725,000. But notice, by investing in a stock and a bond fund that could not take advantage of that balance that the balance fund could take advantage of, we have a little bit, not a whole lot less, 8.48% versus, I think it was a little over 9%, but still, it shows you the flexibility and the power of a balance fund, especially when you're making withdrawals. They can lighten up their exposure to stocks, emphasize bonds. They can do the vice versa, and lighten up their bond portfolio and bone up on stocks. And let's take a look at the graph. And it's still, we still see that same pronounced bit of a roller coaster in 2002 and 2007. But notice what the blue is the stocks. There's the growth. There's a muted exponential curve. But what happened to the bonds? Right. After 2007 and 8, the bonds fund could no longer support the income that was being withdrawn from it. So we hope this has been illuminating, and that's why we call them illustrations. And you see that even in retirement, assuming you're statistically the norm, you're going to live into your 80s, 90s, and you younger folks easily going to make it to 100. Well, we don't know. It's still, 60, 70, 80 years off for the younger folks. But still, with the trends that are happening now, your generation should live easily into 100s. So you still need that growth. But are you going to accept an all-stock portfolio? Some people do, actually, but not too many. So, keep up the great work, students. We are so proud of you. You made it this far. You are now officially investment gurus. You have seen from the beginning the eternal struggle of risk versus return. Do you want to eat well or do you want to sleep well? But it turns out, if we have a long-term perspective and don't panic and are consistent and prudent, we can do both. Keep up the great work, students. We are so proud of you.